time for another edition of Why Are You Awake? My name is Paul Farber. I'm your host. This week we have comedian Amy Shanker joining us all the way from Austin, Texas. If you haven't already, go subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/PaulFComedy. If you're listening to this podcast, you can go over to the YouTube page and actually watch it. It's fun to see what we look like. Please check out my dates at paulfcomedy.com to see when I'm coming to your town. And also follow me on Instagram. Follow Amy Shanker on Instagram. And don't forget to check out our sponsors.
Hey, gang. As some of you know, I used to be a practicing lawyer in Chicago. I no longer practice, but from time to time, I need a lawyer. And when I need a lawyer, I call my friend Scott Shapiro. Scott Shapiro has been practicing law for over 25 years in Chicago. He does it all. From workers' compensation to personal injury, employment issues, and even entertainment law and contract needs. If you need a lawyer, call my friend Scott, 312-648-8800. That's 312-648-8800. Or you can email him at scott@scottshapirolegal.com. Tell him I sent you. You're welcome.
I'm just going to use that as the intro. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, everybody. This is Why Are You Awake? I'm Paul Farvar. This week we have legendary comedian Amy Shanker. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
I don't even know where to say you're from anymore because you're from Kansas. Then you went to Chicago. Then you went to New York. Now you're in Austin.
Yeah. I grew up in Kansas City, started comedy while I was teaching here in Chicago, and then moved to New York after I quit teaching. And then I went down to Austin during like the second part of the pandemic and was splitting my time. And then my apartment in New York got black mold in it when I was on the road, and the whole building moved out. And then I became homeless, and so I was like, I should go to Austin for a minute. So I'm trying to get back to splitting my time, but yeah, I'm in Austin for at least a couple more months.
Splitting your time where?
Between Austin and New York. That's what I was doing for like the first year and a half maybe. Mm-hmm. Which I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Austin's different. We were there together. I was there for all of 3 days, and I think I feel like I know Austin now.
Okay, what do you think you know about it?
I think it's good for comedy overall, but I have strong opinions that I don't think are very popular right now, but that's not why we're here.
Oh, okay.
No, I think there's a lot of good comedy there. There were some comedians I saw that were amazing, but then I saw a lot of people who are trying to cut corners with comedy. And I just feel like this is like the one thing you can't do that with.
Yeah, I think, especially stand up. Like, it's just like, you need the experience, and you need the bad experiences even more than the good ones. So
I feel like you need the bad experiences to know how to respond when things aren't going your way.
Well, and to appreciate like what you have with the good, because a lot of people be like, this is it. You're like, this is great.
Yeah, that's true. I had an experience there where it was like comedians were not having fun with the show. It was like a weekday show, and they were just like shitting on the small crowd. I'm like, these guys came out, it's not their fault. And they're also, it was like a corporate gig it was like a Christmas party or something.
What are you, why are you yelling at them? They're here.
Yeah, I'm like, wait till you go to a law firm and do comedy for an hour of people in suits at lunchtime. Yeah.
Torts, right? Yeah.
So yeah, it's different, but I think overall it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I know a lot of people still are moving to Austin. I know a lot of people are leaving. So
yeah, it's a bit of an ebb and flow city for sure. It's I really love when my friends come to visit. It's fun to get their opinion on the scene for sure, because everyone is different about it. But I think it mostly stems from like level of experience, in all honesty.
Right. And I also think when you're coming from New York or Chicago, it's going to be, you're going to feel superior.
It's a smaller scene for sure. It's building, but it is building. Yeah.
So in Chicago, I started comedy just before you, because you started doing my open mic called 2.5 Persians, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then you took it over and changed it to 1.5 Jews.
Right.
So the funny story.
Well, who was the 2.5 person? Who was the third?
Chris Bader, and then that we just made. There was a third guy who started it with us, Steve, but he didn't do comedy anymore. And we needed a name for the open mic before we had the show before we had a name. And they're like, we just need a name. And then I was like, we threw out like five names, and we're like, that's fine for now. And then it
what
just
were
stuck.
The other four? Like probably open mic.
Yeah. Monday mic. Yeah.
Do you guys want to come
hey, to the bar? It was a great mic. And then I just remember funny stories. So you and I changed it to 1.5 Jews. We moved it down the street right here in Chicago, in Lincoln Park. I forgot the name of the bar.
Well, we started up in Wrigley.
Yeah.
What was the name of that bar? Merkel's, yeah.
But then when we moved it, it was here, but... The best part is Facebook wouldn't let us change the name. Do you remember the story? So I was up in arms. I was like, I don't know what to do. And then I kept emailing them like, you can't change the name. And I was like, but we changed it because there's a new person. It's a different name and this and that. And then you just, she's not even Persian. I go, we can't change the name, Amy. You go, what happened? And then you just chimed into Facebook. You're like, just let us change the name. What did you say? You said something like that. And then literally they're like, okay. Do you remember what you said?
You
it was like,
be a full Jew to have those. You were
like, I feel like this is, you're just being difficult. Why can't we change the name? And then literally they're like, okay. I was like, what did you do?
I mean, that's a good point. Yeah. We have no argument. I was probably like, can you show me where it says that we're not allowed to change the name? And then they're like, fine.
And then we ran that to the ground for 3 months. And then we were like, all right, we're not doing open mics
anymore. We have that Scott guy helping us? Was there someone else helping us?
Yeah, there was another guy who doesn't do comedy anymore who helped us. But
oh, okay.
You and I were already starting to do shows. And when you're hosting an open mic, but you're also getting spots at the clubs, it's hard to like care anymore.
And juggle the two with passion for each.
With passion at all.
We used to, but it was really a fun mic. And we would vote on the people that were the...
It was
were
a show.
Good. They would win prizes. Yeah.
2.5 Persians / 1.5 Jews, the show that I ran. We had, it was a contest. We had celebrity judges. Three people would judge the show.
Mm-hmm. Usually, and by celebrity, we do mean like just any homeless man outside.
No. We had attractive women usually.
Yeah, because you can't. Paul does not like ugly women.
No, it was more to because mostly guys on the open mic. Didn't know how to
talk to women.
Yeah. So like the stuff that they would have, they would bring their A material to win. And then sometimes we had actual bookers from clubs and people got booked from that. I remember three comedians got Laugh Factory from 2.5 Persians.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, those bookers would come all the time, actually.
Yeah.
That was a lot. It was a fun mic.
It was. It was like a fun Monday night show. And then it was more of a show. You got prizes and shit like that. It was fun. I love the ending. Just the asking questions. Oh, afterwards, we picked three people to the top three. And then we'd interview them based on questions that were asked. People could ask them or whatever. And it was like a, and then people would vote on it.
Yeah.
It was like a real. It's a real
thing.
It was
a lot of fun. Why did we stop? It went to shit.
It went to shit because then other mics started opening up on the same strip and then people weren't around. They would do their mic and try to do multiple shows. I'm like, you can't leave if you come to my mic, which was insane to think about now.
Why would you say that?
I
was like, they can.
Jono just called me out on this podcast. He's like, yeah, you would be a real dick.
You were real strict about it. I was like, you can leave. I don't want you here. You smell bad.
But it was like I kept everyone in there. It was for a while it worked, but after like a few years, it just didn't.
Yeah, when mics just started kind of piling up on that day. But yeah, and then I was doing a different mic too.
You took over the one that Hannibal had, right? The one in, what was the one you and Connor Colley?
Weeds. That was like the longest running mic in the city. And we would just pass it down. And then the people we passed it to, I think, didn't hand it off. And I was like,
a lot of mics.
Part of the deal.
A lot of mics. After our generation just died. The one at Lottie's died for a while after, I think.
Has Jeff it started Asmus up again?
Someone, I don't know. I don't know if it's still. Well, I haven't done an open
mic. Is Cole still going?
Cole's is still crushing, yeah.
Good.
Victoria and Jenna,
is it super woke, though?
Very woke. It's Logan Square.
Yeah. I like to be as conservative as possible there. Yeah, just I to. Know.
Well, you're in Texas.
Just for
now.
Fun for me.
Yeah.
I don't even mean how this should I say. I'm just like, yeah, I'll just try that.
I mean, it is funny that you're in Austin where there's a lot of these edgelord comedians who say the R word and say the F word mm-hmm. like every fucking.
Yeah. Or they'll try to get away with the N word. And it's like.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Sir. Ma'am.
Really?
I've heard it a few times.
Wow.
Somebody said, I'm Jewish. I heard somebody say kike on stage. I was like, oh, we're not. We're going to be talking. That's not okay.
I don't get it.
It can get a little wild, but they're the comics that are like, you know, obviously not getting a ton of stage time, but yeah. like trying to like, I think that unless you have like the skills behind you in comedy to understand how to write a joke effectively, maybe try that before you're like, just like,
yeah,
I'm getting into comedy to say words that people don't like. That's it. It's like, all right.
I don't know the end game for them. I mean, when I started, I think I tried to be edgy, but
yeah,
it wasn't like that.
Your edgy was like, you're not, I went on a date.
I had sex with a woman.
Ooh, no, unprotected.
I remember I said when I started, this was 13 years ago. I did say the R word at one joke and Jamie Masada from Laugh Factory was like, you probably can't say that anymore. But he would say the F word all the time. Like, I'm like, but you're saying.
He's like, but I'm not calling them the R word.
Buddy. I'm like, okay. Buddy. I didn't know. And then, I just changed it to something else. And it wasn't like it was just using it, the R word in the way that you used it when you were in the 90s.
Where, yeah, when it was funny.
Yeah. Now it's not funny.
I miss those days.
Those are the good days.
Did Jamie Masada at
Laugh Factory.
At Laugh Factory ever put you up on the show that was like you would go first, right? And then but the show before you would end and they would just keep it rolling and then
I was there when you did that bullet.
That was the worst
in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I was there. I'm the one that told them to put you up.
That hurt my feelings.
That's the bullet spot.
They don't
spot.
Let the audience go. It's like worse than a bullet spot. It's not a bullet spot. It's like a machine gun.
So what I saw when I did that spot, Laugh Factory, the 10 o'clock show ends. The headliner is usually a huge name. When I did mm-hmm. it was Chris D'Elia when he was at the top of his game.
I think I went after Jay Farrell, maybe?
No, you Who went did? After, what's his name? Tall, skinny guy. He had an HBO special.
Yeah.
Damn it. He produced Drew Michaels' special.
Yeah. Gerard
Carmichael. Yeah. You went after him.
And he was very low energy,
but it was when he was at the top of his game. Everyone in the room, so the 10 o'clock show ends. Everyone in the room is like, they cool. just hit the peak. Then the host comes on and does maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah.
While people are running to the doors.
Not even though. He did like a minute.
Frasier Smith.
Yeah, Frasier. He didn't do maybe 2 minutes, I would say. Yeah. And then.
And you're just
And he announced
going.
This was the end of the show. That's been our
but
show.
You can stay if you want. Yeah.
Here's your next comic.
Right.
And they're like, what?
Everyone is dogpiling out.
Except the people that had, like, this is my first show. And they're staying, but they're just like, well, can we leave?
I had to do that show. You just have to address it a little bit and then move on. I saw Chris Redd do that, and he struggled as well. And
it's just a really hard spot. And I remember I hit up Joe Kilgallen afterwards. I go, dude, I just ate a dick at Laugh Factory, and he goes, "What spot?" And I told him, he goes, "Have no shame."
I remember that day. I was on the 7 o'clock spot and I had like one of the best sets of my life at the time.
I remember
looking at you and you're like going like this to me, like, what's going on? Like, it was like the hottest. Well, because that whole week I was like contemplating quitting because I was bombing on all the other shows there. And then mm-hmm. that was just like the one time.
You're like, I'll stay. You just seen that one, but it has to be like the last one.
It was the last one. Because I remember calling Ross Kelly and being like, I need to punch up some of these jokes. I want to go out on a high note. It's Saturday, Laugh Factory Hollywood. I had a good run. And then and I remember you were there. We were all standing out there and you were standing there like, oh my God.
Oh, it was like, my cousins were there. I was like, this is horrible.
For your set, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was so,
I had fun.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm sure. It's the only time you've been better.
I was also... I was also there when you got past the Laugh Factory in Chicago and you started crying.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
No way.
You were so happy.
I cried from happiness.
Yeah.
You have never seen me do that.
You recorded it by accident. You probably still have it on your phone.
I'll check.
So what happened is you went, no, I'm not. Fuck you. You were crying. This is what people do when they're defensive.
What happened is... Look at my body language.
You went through the old way of going through. I was hosting the open mic at Laugh Factory. You did 3 minutes, 5 minutes.
I did not.
Okay.
I got pulled from Zany's by Emily. Mm-hmm. There was like an all-woman show, and she came with a couple people. I crushed at Zany's, and then she was like, can you come and audition for Jamie at Laugh Factory? I'm going to skip your first audition and put you in for the, it was what, 3, 5, 7. I thought it was 3 and whatever. Then, okay. So anyway, there's 3 auditions. Jamie at the time was coming in to pass every single person himself from at Laugh Factory.
Yeah, the last 5 people would audition.
Yeah. And so he saw my first set, which was 6 or 5 or whatever. And then I went up to talk to him. He goes, I love this. This is great. I'll see you for your final audition.
Right.
And, but before that audition, I had probably about 5 or 6 people just be like, hey, so just an FYI, you're not going to get past.
Right.
You're not going to go to the next level. He's going to tell you that you need a re-audition. On and on and on. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you for believing in me. And and then he was like, passed. And there wasn't even a conversation. He's like, you're great. And then
there was a conversation because I was
with him. Yeah, a little one, but not a big one. The second one was bigger.
Okay, go ahead.
So the first one was that. And I went downstairs and the people that were like, you're not going to get it, were like, what happened? I was like, oh, I got it. And they're like, well, you're not going to get the next one. I was like, okay. And then the next one, he's like, this is great. and passed like, me.
Emily,
we had a big talk.
Sign her up, get her avails or whatever.
Right.
I was there, yeah.
But
you were
so
like, oh,
great.
My God. You
so happy,
crying.
Yeah. But I think
crying.
That, I don't think I was crying.
You're like, oh, my God, I recorded it by accident. It's on my phone.
Oh,
you had your phone
I
on.
Did. Because he had all that evidence. I did record it on
Exhibit
accident,
A,
but it wasn't because...
Which is illegal to do. You're not supposed to record people in Illinois without their permission.
Without their consent?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I knew I was recording, though. So, like, if
oh,
it's
so
an
you
accident.
Didn't know the law, so that's okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good opportunity
Ignorance.
Where we can find out if you did, in fact, cry. Because
okay.
you have it on... All right, so bring
do
it up.
Do you remember the date?
Yes.
You
it was
were
August 7th, 2015.
Okay. You know what? I should have remembered that date because that was the... I have nothing.
August 7th. What was August 7th, 2015?
I don't know. I've been in comedy for a bit, though.
You don't have to look
Let's
it
see.
Up.
Let's go. We're going all the way back because
you
how
still
many
have
recordings...
Everything on your phone?
My earliest recording now is from... 2017.
How convenient. You've destroyed the evidence.
I didn't destroy the evidence. There's no evidence because it never happened.
I vividly remember you crying.
Were you crying?
Why would I cry?
For me.
No. I was like, oh, I'm never going to hear the end of this shit.
Not at all. Wait, when did you get past?
I got past in 2013, I think, just before you.
Okay. And when you, was it boom, boom, boom for you too?
They told me I did 3. I had to do 3. The first 2 times he said he didn't, he said, come back in 6 months. And then I did a 5 minute, they're like, you're not going to pass this time, but you got to wait. And then they passed me.
Mm. He must have seen something in you.
No, I think he just needed free legal advice. I think so. And he learned quickly that wasn't
that
good.
That was not good. Not to ask
Exhibit,
you for it.
No. So so you passed the world famous Laugh Factory.
Mm-hmm.
When did you move to New York?
2015?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I really didn't do comedy for long here.
I feel like you were here forever.
I know, right? I did. I lived in Chicago for 13 years, but I did comedy. I started in 2013. I started January.
I remember we did a comedy fest in New York, me, you, and Aaron Sutherland.
Yeah. What fest was that?
Well, you weren't
that?
There yet. It was the Devil's.
But and then Aaron spilled all of his food at
the restaurant we were at. Yeah, yeah.
The deli with the Harry met Sally Katz's. Yeah. We waited in line for like a half an hour.
Right.
And then we both got our sandwiches. You and I sit down. Aaron gets his and just comes over and like just flips his
drink. The whole thing falls. It was so not purposely.
And just sat staring.
So sad. Did he have to go back in line?
Yeah, he had to go wait again.
Oh, no. Poor guy. But you weren't living there when we did that. So
no,
it must have been
no.
After that.
So I was teaching here. I was teaching high school on the West Side. And then I knew that was year 13 was going to be my last year. And so, and Josh Johnson at the time was moving. Right. And he was like, you should just move. When I move, we can be roommates, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm not teaching anymore in Chicago. I want to be, you know, moving forward. So like, it's fine. I was kind of ready to leave Chicago is more why I moved than for, like, I'm ready to be in New York, you know, but it was fun. And starting comedy with the teaching experience I had, I kind of excelled a little bit faster because I wasn't like getting the crowd to focus wasn't an issue,
right.
You know,
yeah, the stage presence.
And it was just like, I got to learn how to write jokes, but.
And you're still working on that second part.
Well, no. Do you remember how you're, oh God, I should just pull up these texts. Fix my jokes. It's Paul.
Me?
Yes.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh really? Here, let's see.
I believe you. What did I say?
You would be like, let's write. You write my joke.
Fix my joke.
Will you write my jokes?
I don't remember that, but it sounds about right.
Yeah, you
fix
were.
This.
Yeah, you were like, can we get together and write? And by that, I mean
you write for me.
You do it.
No, I helped you with stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. So I moved to New York with with Josh and Jeff Sheen.
Yeah.
And we, the three of us, got an apartment, and it was just like, you know, they were my adopted dads that I took care of and taught how to
elderly
be people.
Dads. Yeah. When you were doing comedy here, okay, let me ask you this, because you started later in life too, right?
Yeah.
You had already done it. You were a teacher for how long before you started?
Like 10-ish years, yeah.
So do you think that's more of a benefit to you, or is it more of a curse?
For me, it was. I've kind of discovered about myself that I'm a late bloomer in pretty much everything that I do, but I hated teaching like from day one. And so it was just like, I was like in a very severe, I think, depression that I really didn't understand about myself. And when I started doing stand up, which I started because I gave like a speech at a wedding, my brother's wedding. And afterwards, I was like the 17th speech and final speech. And afterwards, people were like, keep going. And I'm like, I don't write anymore. So
no one gave you the light.
And afterwards, people were like, you shouldn't be teaching. You should be doing this or this or this or stand up or, you know. And I had a friend at the time who was doing stand up, but I didn't want to like step on her feet about it. And I asked her if she would be OK with me starting. And she was not.
Really?
No, not at all.
OK.
When I did my first open mic, she stopped speaking to me completely. I've never heard from her again.
Is she still doing comedy?
No.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think so. I haven't.
You do an open mic. When was your first open mic? Do you remember that?
I remember. It was
2011, 2012.
I think it was 2013.
2013. Okay.
Because I'm in year 11 right now. I started the same night that Jason Melton started. And so we wish each other happy anniversary every year. Well, I went there the first time and I got bumped by Clark Jones and Will Miles. And then I was like, well, I guess I'll do it. It was like, that was the...
You got bumped like you didn't even get to go up?
I didn't get to go up. That was like the week before. And then I went the next... I think that was right around like... It was right around New Year's. And so it skipped a week. And I went the next week. And then I got up that week. And I was like, I took a... I was like, all right, I did it. And then I didn't know if I wanted to do it again. But then like a week or so went by and I got like itchy, you know, I'm like, maybe I'll try one more. And I would do like a week, once a week for like 6 months probably. And then I was just like, if I'm going to do it, like just buckle down and do it. And yeah. So I just went full throttle. Well,
before you did comedy or before you even did teaching, were you staying up late in college? Or were you like,
yeah, I mean, I've always been a night person. Okay. I feel like if I stay up, if I'm awake past 11, I'm up till 3 at least, yeah. You know, I have a very small window where I can fall asleep at a normal time and be normal, or I'm just like, no, I'm.
Do you then make up for the sleep, or you just function without sleep?
It kind of just depends on the situation. Like yeah. When I was teaching, I was not making up.
But you would just tell a kid, you could just be like, all right, guys, let's take a recess. And then you just go nap or something.
I taught seniors. We didn't have recess. No, it was teaching while doing comedy is hard because comedy is such a nighttime activity. It's a party place. It's you're putting in FaceTime and all that requires that you stay out late and you're up, you know? And then teaching is just like, as soon as I walk into the school, I have about like probably 10 to 15 kids bombarding me with questions right. About either homework or I need to talk to you later about something
are you
important.
Late,
or, yeah.
Shanker.
Why are you late again? And it's like, it is 10 in the morning. Okay. I'm not that late. Sometimes I would find like a stray dog on my way to work and I can't just leave a dog, you know, I'm a white woman. So I would pull over and I'd be like, I'm going to be late because there's a dog. And they're like, you have kids. I'm like, but they have homes.
Yeah.
The dog doesn't, you know, and I would get the dog. Oh, they would get so mad at me. And then one day there was this like random pit bull that wandered into the schoolyard and they're like, Ms. Shanker, we need your help. And I'm like, oh, okay, now you
whisperer.
Need my help.
So I was in the same boat in terms of having to go to court early in the morning, but I would always find ways to sleep because I needed sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was always a night owl. So it was transitioning to comedy was a lot easier for me than any other profession.
Oh, yeah.
So did you... When you were a kid, did you stay up late too? Mm-hmm. Your parents let you stay up late or you just did it?
I just kind of, I guess when I was like, are you talking like high school?
As early as
you
remember.
I think like when I was younger, it would be, yeah, around 11. If I was up past 11, I was just up and I have like massive insomnia. I have restless leg syndrome, which I've had since I was like 12.
I didn't know anyone under 70 gets that.
Okay. Well,
I didn't know.
Well, first of all, I'm an overachiever, and so if I want something,
what
I get
it. What does
that
do? You just kick people?
No, restless leg. I do kick people, though, but not from restless leg. But I feel like it feels like there's like a skeleton hand, like between your skin and your muscles that's just like going like that all the time. And you have to just like stretch out or something or kick
in the middle of the night.
Yeah. And, but it's like, I feel it all the time. And so, but during the day I'm walking around and so it's like, not as severe, it's but when I'm just laying down and staring at my ceiling in the dark, like that's all that I think about. And that was probably a root issue of my insomnia. But,
even when you had that when you were in high school,
I had that when I was in middle school. Oh, yeah. Wow. They think that when they think it's a nerve issue that like when you're growing, like, like a bone, like a, you know, a spine bone
I don't
rests
know.
On like a nerve and kind of cuts it off. And that's where the numbness comes from. But like for me, if I don't take, I'm on medicine for it. I did a sleep study cause they thought I had sleep apnea and they're like, oh, it turns out that you're just kicking so hard in your sleep that you wake yourself up from the restless
leg. Not from
leg.
Snoring.
Right. I'm not a snorer.
It's not what I heard.
Okay.
It's not what's on the deep web.
It's on the deep web?
Yeah.
Okay. Just, well, I thought I had washed that.
Just
okay.
Along with the recording of you crying at Laugh Factory.
The two things.
Her when
fears.
You Google your name.
Don't show emotion or be vulnerable in your unconsciousness.
That's what it's. I don't. Let's Google
that's,
it.
God.
what did you do when you were in high school, like staying up late? Were you like watching TV or were you like...
No, we didn't even have TVs in our rooms. Like we weren't allowed. We would watch TV downstairs, but I would read to try to fall asleep, but then I would just get really into the book, you know, or the story, and I would want to just see how it ended, and I would just be up. Yeah,
that was the last time you read a book.
I taught English.
That doesn't mean anything.
Didn't read the books, though, no.
Okay, so how did that manifest itself in college? What were you doing late at night, just partying?
Sometimes I would party, you know, like regular college kids, so Monday through Sunday, and then... like we had like Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night.
There was always
night.
A special.
Yeah, just a bit. But you know what? This is what happened. My friends would all be up doing coke all night. Okay.
In college.
Yeah. And I never did coke. I just couldn't get into it. And it just didn't appeal to me. But I would be up the whole time with them because alcohol kind of energized me. And so we were all drinking. They're doing coke. I'm just like drinking. And they're just like, how are you still awake? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just kind of like a natural time. I feel more awake at night.
Did you have different experience? Like alcohol definitely affects people differently. Mm-hmm. Just like pot. Like for pot, for me, keeps me awake. It doesn't. People are like, oh, it just relaxes me. I'm the opposite.
Really?
And when I did cocaine, it was the opposite. I was just relaxed. I'd like be like, let's just hang out in this room and party.
Really? Yeah.
Drugs affect me differently.
Huh.
Alcohol like is a stimulant for me too.
Yeah.
So I stay awake.
With weed,
maybe
it's
you have,
maybe
you have ADD, ADHD.
I definitely have ADD. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I wasn't a big smoker. I really didn't start smoking until I started comedy.
Cigarettes or pot?
Pot. I quit smoking cigarettes by the time I started comedy. I quit at 30 because I was like, I had read that if you smoke after 30, the damage becomes more permanent.
Really?
And I'm like, no.
Were you in a sorority in high school? College?
I was in a sorority, not in high school, but yes, in college. And I did get kicked out.
Really? What'd you do?
Yeah, not really much. I just
didn't pay your dues?
No, I just didn't go to the meetings because I was working. I worked at a group home for like delinquent teenage boys, and I worked like four or five times a week. And I was going to school full time. And I had to party, you know, so.
Where'd you go to school again?
Kansas.
Oh, that's right.
It was like the top 10 for party school. Like such a huge party school.
I forgot you went to Kansas. Oh.
Yeah. I went there and stayed like through my first master's, and it was just a party the whole time.
You have multiple masters?
I have two.
Oh, for Kansas, though.
Kansas was the number one school for education while I was there.
In Kansas?
No.
Yeah.
No, in the country.
I got
Hawaii and Alaska.
On my first try before I took the ACT again.
Really? What'd you get from the ACT?
What'd you get?
I don't remember.
I got a 24 the second time.
That's pretty low.
It is low.
I
wasn't a good test taker. But Kansas was like, we'll take you. You got a heartbeat.
Yeah, who cares?
But I just hate Kansas because of Bill Self. But that's a whole other story.
Oh, because he left Illinois for a better team?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway.
For a better team.
So you have two masters.
For a better,
okay. No, he didn't. He left his team that he created. It's like,
and was like, I think I can do better. And then he won the tournament the very next year
two
for
years
Kansas.
Later. Yeah, but
yeah,
the year
yeah.
that we went to the finals, we would have won if he stayed, but whatever. So you have two master's degrees from a second tier school. That's good. And
where'd you go to law school?
Illinois, top 20 at the time.
At the time? Yeah. What is it now?
Probably 57. But when I was there, it was
what
top
did
20.
You do that it became 57?
After, the year after us, it went to shit. I'm
yeah.
not going to lie to you. But that's it happens. You leave there, and then you're still a night owl when you leave school.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I was always like, you know.
How did you do that
school,
when you're teaching? Before you did comedy, what were you doing? You're just going to bed or?
I was trying. Like well, restless? I went to the gym like four or five times. I went to the gym four times a week when I was before comedy.
Okay.
And so I was trying to get like all that energy out basically. And I would go to sleep around. I would lay down around 11. I would probably fall asleep around 1.
Okay. And you have to wake up at 7
it's
to go?
It's 6. Yeah, it's Jesus like 6:30, 6:45. Yeah. And then when I started comedy, it was like falling asleep around 3 or 4 because you're hyped up when you get back from like shows or yeah. mics.
Well, you're out
you're
partying
time
after
with
the
people.
Shows too. You're one of the ones that would always be like, stay out. I remember when I quit my job and I got to like, I remember the night that I went to Comedians You Should Know, and I was just hanging out. Danny's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I don't have to wake up tomorrow. It was like the greatest feeling. And then saw everyone having like hanging out. I never got to do that. Mm-hmm. But you were always like, let's hang out. Like you just wanted to always stay out.
I hated my job. Yeah. I really, really hated.
And it's fun to hang out with
going to work.
People.
Right. And like, and it was just this whole like new underground world that I had just like not even known existed. And I think it was just probably a good thing. I think if I found comedy earlier, I wouldn't still be doing it.
Yeah. It's hard. I feel like I think it helps us people that had careers before and you go in, but then at some point I feel like the opportunity window just starts to like, oh, you're a little older.
Yeah, it does. I know 100%. I do feel like it gets,
there's some ageism that we face.
The thing that I really am getting annoyed with about comedy is because it was the one profession that it's like in entertainment that like looks don't matter, funny right. matters, you know, it doesn't, your how old you are doesn't matter, be funny. And then it's just like it's changing in a way that's like, yeah. Okay, funny doesn't matter. Are you hot?
How many like, followers what? Do you have?
How many followers yeah. do you, how many followers did you buy? Yeah. And it's just like, but there's no joke. She don't have joke.
Right, so right. Like,
okay, so we don't care.
Right, right.
Because the guys have jokes.
They'll write, they'll figure it out on the way. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's that. There's a little of that too. And you yeah. see that on the road too, where you're like,
for sure. And it's a, I mean, the pendulum swings mm-hmm. and it'll swing back. And then that's ugly people can invoke.
I feel like it's just, sometimes it gets frustrating. And I could see that in a town like Austin, where it's like, okay, you have these established comedians who are really good at comedy. Mm-hmm. And then you have these other people who are good, but they've got like a lot less some time and work. Experience. They also, I mean, there's got to be a way to merge those things. And I've seen it work where I've seen really established comedians go on tour with younger comedians or newer comedians that have all these followers. Like, okay, yeah. they're going to help you figure this shit out. And maybe they'll help you write or at least know how to react when you're facing an audience that's not friendly.
If they listen, though, the thing is, I feel like people when they're younger have this like, a certain amount of like hubris to them, to the, about themselves that
what's
like
hubris mean for those people. I don't know.
It's more of like, just like a ego to them that right. because they have 20,000 followers that they think they know what they're doing. But the reality is you can do anything online. You're going to be able to edit that. You're going to be able to, you know, go back right. and forth with that. But when it comes to like live comedy, you do need the experience and you do need people that have more experience than you to be like, here's how I would have handled it. Just a suggestion, yeah. you know, because it's good to, I mean, I watched as much as I could from people with more experience
right.
than me.
Do you, what you just said was, here's how I handle it. Do you give unsolicited advice still? Or do you just,
no, yeah. No. I mean, I'll give a tag but I don't even do that. I'll be like, hey, I have a tag if you want it. But I'm not going to.
How do you do what you just said before? You're like, here's how I would have handled it. When was the last time you did that? Because I've been in those situations where I want to help people. And the only time I approach them is if I could see they're really upset and they're sad. Yeah. I'm like, hey, dude, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Like, if they had a shitty set, yeah. I'll go up and be like, you know, it's these things happen. It's just those things need to happen. Mm-hmm. Because if it doesn't happen, when it happens, it's going to be in a bigger thing. You're not going to know how to handle it. Yeah, yeah. So it's good to fail on smaller stages while you're new and no one knows your name.
Right.
That's what you want to do instead of just making it big like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Because something will happen. An experience is going to happen that you don't know how to handle. And I don't know. I mean, when people would give me advice that were much more experienced than me, I would be just drinking it up, you know.
I would write it down. I'd be like, I'm not texting, I'm writing everything you fucking say.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to look rude. I'm just writing what you're telling me. Yeah. And that's what I was helping last night with Kevin Bozeman teaches a comedy
another
class.
Another person who every time he gave me advice, I'd be like, take me on my phone. Yeah, he's the fucking
so
legend.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've never seen him not be able to just very calmly, coolly handle a situation.
Do you still talk to your friends who are non-comedians that you know, your high school?
Yeah, I do. Not all of them, but a lot of them I do. I kept like my longest friendship is like from fourth grade, and after that it's 10th grade. And so those two women are definitely like very active still in my life. And then I still talk to a lot of Chicago friends, teacher friends, and just people that I, you know, grew like your young adult life, like you grow up and as a young adult with.
But
all
do
of
you
them.
Get to see them still? Because you have
yeah,
like
I
shows
do.
And
they
everything.
Well, they'll come to a show and then we'll go like get dinner after, or you know, just hang out. I'll find time, but I think it's important to keep other friends outside of comedy because it kind of keeps you more grounded in reality, and it also helps with comedy.
Right, but you miss a lot of things too, right? You've missed like, I mean, I've missed a lot of birthdays, weddings, and shit like
that.
Oh
yeah, and it's like, well, because it's like when you get to a level in comedy where you're traveling, it doesn't pay a lot, and so it's like the money that you make is either spent on the road or it's spent on rent. But like, unless I have a gig there, like I'm probably not going to be able to make it because I have to go make money at night.
Right. That's how people don't understand. Like, why can't you just come to Nashville and not do a show? I'm like,
this is my job.
Like, why would I come there and not do a show?
Yeah. Like, you're like, this isn't actually salaried. So if I miss,
it's how it works. Yeah. People don't understand that. It's harder. Do you feel like because of your career or because you're a night owl, do you feel like you miss out on stuff during the day? Or do you wake up early sometimes?
I wake up at 6:45 every single day.
Still?
Yeah. And then I go back to sleep. But but I do. Because I've been doing it since I was in high school. So
you wake up and then what do you do?
So I wake up, I get really annoyed, and then I try to fall back to sleep. Then I'm on my phone for a minute, and then
okay, so when do you really get up after that?
Around like probably 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you miss out on anything during the day when you do that?
No, I don't even consider 11 day. I consider that early morning, and then
oh yeah, I do.
You know, when you do stand up, your hours shift. Mm-hmm. And so it's like people will be like, you stay up so late. I'm like, but I have the same day that you have. It's just a
four
different,
hours later.
Yeah.
Or 6 hours later sometimes.
Yeah.
What are you doing late at night after your shows now?
I'm either probably writing or hanging out. Austin's like such a party city that everyone's just out, you know? But New York and Chicago, more New York probably, I feel like people are very career focused. And so when I'm doing shows there, I'll stay out for a minute if I want, or if it's a good hang, I'll definitely stay out. But otherwise, I'll like go home or go to a diner with friends and write and joke shop and stuff.
How come I never get invited to those?
Because it was New York, Paul. And we didn't know. Everyone was like, don't invite Paul.
He's just going to ask you to fix his joke. So you are creative after shows then? You can be?
Yeah, I kind of get. The times when I'm probably most creative is when I'm watching comics that are bigger than me. Like if I watch Kinane or Mulaney or someone like that, I just want to, Beth Stelling, like I just want to go home and write. Mm-hmm. And because they just like energize you in a different way, you know. But otherwise, yeah, I'll stay and hang and we'll go over jokes or yeah, whatever. It's fun though. I like doing, like I enjoy it.
It's hard though, like as you get older, to just still stay up late and be drinking as often.
Yeah, I mean,
as you
I'm
do.
Not necessarily, like in Austin, I'm definitely probably drinking. In New York, I'm probably not drinking. I'm probably hanging. I might smoke, but drinks are like $20.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not spending, you know, $15 more than I made for one drink.
What are your favorite places that you like to go out late night in Chicago when you were here?
Oh, like to party or to?
Just late night hangs, whether it's food, best late night food, best late night bar.
Anywhere with like a pool table, I like to be.
Are you
hanging
good
around
at pool?
Yeah.
Okay. I do know they used to play pool late at night. I'm like, are you good at this? Or is just
Yeah, I love pool. I love hustling in pool.
Are you,
like,
really? You're good at it?
Yeah, in college, I hustled all the time.
How did you get good at pool?
I grew up with a pool table. Oh. And I didn't really play, though, much till like I got to college. But I kind of had this basics down. And then...
Do you have your own pool stick?
No, I'm not a nerd.
But all the ones at the bar is always crooked.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I would lose a pool stick the day I got it. I just by like probably getting in a fight. It is weird because pool, like it's kind of an equalizer because it's not a strength skill. And so I like playing pool because I like beating guys because their true character comes out when they lose.
Are you a competitive person?
Sometimes it depends on what I'm doing, but with pool, I am.
Are you a bad loser when you lose then?
No, it's my fault.
Then you're not competitive. You don't know what it's like. Competitive people
but,
are like,
but I will, but I, no, I'm mad at myself, but I'll look at that person and I'll be like, this will never happen again.
So you're a shit talker.
Yeah, I'm a huge shit talker, but I think it's fun.
Do you gamble?
No, I okay. do not gamble at You're all. I'm just not person. Into gambling. My mom's a huge gambler. My older brother is. But me and my dad are just like, nah. And my little brother's kind of in the middle.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, Amy. I would have loved to talk to you for another 2 minutes tops.
That's fine. I'll do two more while you do.
Where can people find out more about you and your upcoming shows?
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram at Amy Shanker, Shanker. Or, and I have an album out. It's on iTunes and Spotify. It's
What's
on
it called?
Sirius. It's called Unbelievable, which I named it because after I would do like stuff about teaching, people would come up to me and be like, were you really a teacher?
Yeah.
Like,
it's so crazy that people
like just
don't believe
you.
The funniest thing that happens to me is I used to joke about my mom's name, and I've talked about this before, and you know the joke. Mm-hmm. Her name is Negar, N-E-G-A-R. And then when she comments still on my Facebook, people are like, holy shit, that's really her name. I'm like, did you think I fucking
made it up
to like almost say the N-word? Like, it's so silly.
I like Paul, but he's racist.
Yeah. Or like people will be like, were you really a lawyer? I just fucking talked about it for 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah,
it's
like, how do you think I would be so like specific about this stuff if I wasn't living it? It's in Austin. I talk about being Jewish a lot. And in Austin, some dude came up to me and goes, are you really a Jew? And I was like, yeah.
He goes, I have that happen.
And he pauses. He's like, you're really a Jew. And I go, Are you Jewish? He goes, no. I go, then why the fuck are you asking? He's like, wait, were you really a teacher? I was like, get out of here. Now you're just covering.
I get that all the time too. They're like, wait, how are you Persian and a Jew? I'm like, one's an ethnicity, one's a religion.
Oh,
any
God.
Questions?
I get that. I get what are you all the time because I have like darker features.
You're like
and
Hispanic.
Yeah, a lot of people
speak
Spanish to me.
But then when you start talking, you're like, she's a Jew.
But people will be like, if I tell I'm Russian and Romanian, and if I say I'm Russian and Romanian, they'll be like, no. They'll be like, I'm Jewish. They'll be like, that's what it is. Like, no, it isn't.
That's what it is. Sure. That's what your next one should be. Your next special will be like, that's what it is.
There it is.
Well, Amy, thanks for coming on Why Are You Awake? I really appreciate
the
time
thank you.
That we were able to spend to reconnect and learn all the stuff that you lied about.
I'm glad too. And I'm glad that we did this at 4 in the morning.
Yes, that's what we're telling people. Thanks for listening and go to sleep.